You're listening to Off Topic with Big Woo and Friends, streaming live on the Big Woo Radio app. Here's your host, Big
NBA, NFL,
it's game time.
March Madness, BCS, it's Off Topic Sports that's in effect.
It's game time.
That's right, you can't hide. In fact, check who's fake and who's prime time.
It's game time.
Donnie, Bick, Less, and JB. Talking touchdowns, home runs, and deep three. Over and under with JT.
It's game time.
The topic is off, different than most. You can call in, listen, or drop a post. It's Big Woo, and he's your host.
It's game time.
On time, hitting with force. Without further ado, it's Woo and his crew as we welcome you to Off Topic Sports.
Sports. It's game time.
What's happening? What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Off Topic Sports, Big Woo Radio. Man, it's about to go down today. We got some games going on in the NFL playoffs. We got the Browns. We got the Chiefs playing a tight one right now. Chad Henne is in at quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is out with a concussion. This is about to get interesting. If you're watching, we'll keep you posted if you're listening to the show. Kind of got one eye on the show. One ear on the show, one eye on the TV. We're going to help you out as much as we can. If you want to call in, hang out with us at 704-489-3316. Want to thank everybody that is listening live at BigWooRadio.com and everybody download the Big Woo Radio app in your Google Play Store and all of our folks that search us out in the podcast app on your iPhone. We appreciate that. We also love it when you search us out or follow us on all of our social media. And you can follow us at Big Woo Radio on everything. Let's bring in the fellas without further ado so we can get into the conversations about different things, man. We got I want to talk about the does it help or hurt Brady's legacy if he doesn't make it to the Super Bowl if he makes it to the Super Bowl? Who needs the Super Bowl more, Drew Brees or Tom Brady? Are the Jags making a mistake with the coaching change? Should the change be at the GM? And before I bring in the fellas, I want to apologize right here to the Cleveland Browns, because I think the beginning of the year, well, I believe it was the beginning of the year. It might have been last year. I'm pretty sure it was the beginning of this year. I said the Browns wasn't going to be anything. They were never going to be anything because I had picked them one time to win a game and they lost. And I went on to say, I think it was in a text message to the fellas, went on to say that the Browns will never be anything. Their franchise is just cursed and they'll never do anything. And here they are, giving the Chiefs a run for their money to move on in the playoffs. So I do apologize to the Browns and the Browns fans until next year when y'all absolutely do nothing next year. But anyway, let's bring in the crew. James, JT Thompson, he's in the building. What's going on, JT?
Hey, yo, what's going on, man? Off Topic Court. We here.
We in the building. Also, Big Les. What's happening, Big Les? I think Big Les here. I know he was here. Is he here? Big Les?
Yeah. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, there you go.
I had the mute on.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. So what's up, everybody?
What's up?
Peace
welcome,
and love,
welcome,
everybody. I told you the Steelers were going to lose. I told you.
Yeah, you did. You told us, man. You told us. I think you probably should have been thinking a little bit more positive before that game, but you might be the reason why they lost. All that negativity. Big Pastor Fight, come on in here, man. How you doing, Pastor Fight?
I'm good, man. How's everybody doing?
Everybody is good. All right, so let me get y'all thoughts right quick on the game. I know y'all are watching, trying to keep up with that before we started the show. It's a tight one. I think the score is 22-17. They had the 2-minute warning. The Kansas City Chiefs are up on the Cleveland Browns. It looks like the Chiefs have the ball, and I think they only have two timeouts left. The Cleveland Browns have no timeouts left. JT, what are you thinking? How was Baker Mayfield? Well, Patrick Mahomes is out. He was doing pretty good, it looks like, from the stat line. 21 of 30, 255 yards and a touchdown, no interceptions, no sacks. Baker Mayfield, 23 of 37, 204 yards, one touchdown, one interception. And from what I understand, the Cleveland Browns did a Cleveland Brown thing and fumbled the ball on their goal line out of the end zone for a touchback. JT, what are your thoughts on the game so far?
Nah, man, it wasn't the Cleveland Browns. I think it was the biggest play of the game. The guy led with the helmet. And any time that you leave with the helmet, that's supposed to be an automatic penalty, but they didn't call it. They automatically called the ball out of ball, you know, out of the end zone, so it automatically was a turnover. So the turnover was caused by the lead with the helmet, and it will continue to be the topic of conversation all week long if Cleveland loses the game. But then again, they just had an opportunity, you know what I'm saying, where Henny threw the interception. With them not making anything happen on that drive right there, that pretty much, to me, seals the game. Because you can't let an opportunity like that go when Mahomes is not in the game, which that's a totally different subject, how concussions have played a role in these playoff games, a la last night with Lamar Jackson and today with Mahomes. When you can't take advantage of a team not having a star player in there, you don't deserve to win the game, and that's just facts.
Yeah.
And they didn't win. Game over.
A game is over. I was just saying it went final. Kansas City Chiefs 22, Cleveland Browns 17. What a disappointment for the Cleveland Brown fans. But y'all had a good year, man. I mean, heck, you beat your longtime rival and daddy in the Pittsburgh Steelers. You beat your dad. The son finally beat the dad. And then you get to the Kansas City Chiefs, which was going to be a huge hill to climb. Anyway, I don't think anybody had the Cleveland Browns winning this game, but when you let a game like that slip away, when you had it right there in your hands and just let it slip away like sand. Pastor Fight, what do you think? What do you think about the Cleveland Browns and you know how they show true grit and true fight? Looks like, you know, to get to these playoffs and beating the Steelers. What do you think about the Cleveland Browns' future from this point?
Well, the Cleveland Browns have an identity, and it's not in Baker Mayfield. As much as we want to be able to put him as the leader of this team, a captain, he is not the engine that makes this team go. This team is a ground-and-pound team that cannot get down early. All the games they lost, they were losing going in the fourth quarter. Baker Mayfield has not brought them back because you can't trust his arm. He throws interceptions. He fumbles the football. When it comes down to putting it in his hands, it's not the case. So teams have figured that out later in the season. The question is, how do you stop it? So when you see what Kansas City did today, they took the ball first. And their first drive down the field, they were determined, we scoring. Yeah. We're going to get you down early and get you away from the ground and pound offense to make Baker Mayfield beat us. Because if he beats us, then we deserve to lose. But if he's not going to be consistent in throwing the ball, then and then plus throwing it outside the numbers, threading those throws to wide receivers on the sidelines, those back shoulder corner throws, and he's not making those throws.
Yeah.
And so most defensive backs will play them to be able to go to the outside and trust Baker Mayfield to make that pass. And typically he overthrows it, underthrows it, or he just decides to scramble and only gets 2 or 3 yards. And so if they're going to go forward in the future, Baker Mayfield is going to have to get more serious about his accuracy and passing. They have all the weapons. That is undeniable. They have all the weapons to be a playoff contending, Super Bowl contending team. I don't think they're any more or less talented than anybody else. The difference is that quarterback. When you put Patrick Mahomes versus Baker Mayfield, you're choosing Patrick Mahomes. But also, I chose the Chiefs, not because of that factor. I chose the Chiefs because Andy Reid, historically, is 7-0, and as of today, he's 8-0 against the Cleveland Browns. Wow. Never lost in the Cleveland Browns.
Wow. Well, Big Les, I'm a kind of switch this up because Pastor Fight made me think about something as far as the Cleveland Browns having the weapons and, you know, being a playoff team going forward. What say you as a Steeler fan? I mean, after losing to them, I know it was a heartbreaking loss to lose to the Cleveland Browns. But Pastor Fight is right. They do have weapons. I mean, you look at Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And then, of course, the receivers that they have on that squad as well, Jarvis Landry and even though what's his name? What's the boy's name with the gold hair?
Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham. Yeah, Odell Beckham Jr. So they do have weapons going forward. What does that mean for the Pittsburgh Steelers? I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they historically re-up. You know, they started the season out 11-0. I mean, it ended bad, but they started out beating some people up. What does that mean going forward for the Steelers against the Cleveland Browns, you think, in your thoughts?
First off, I just want to drop this real quick on the Cleveland Browns. I think, one, I know people have been giving Baker like a hard time, man. And I just think that he's only played, this is third year? He's had three different offensive coordinators. You know, they never had an identity like Pastor said. And so now this is really his first year where he's been with a team that has an identity. They know what to do. And hopefully, like now, no, he can't carry a team, but hopefully his maturity will get better, and then that part will come along with it if they stay on the right path. As for the Steelers dealing with Cleveland, I still think the Steelers are a better team than Cleveland. Mm. But I think this year they kind of underestimated them, and then by the time the Steelers went on that little losing streak, you know, they were done. And I think that Rex Ryan said the perfect thing about the Pittsburgh Steelers. He said they were soft. They celebrate too much. You know, they think they've already got the game won. And he said when Juju Smith danced on the Cleveland Brown thing on his TikTok, he said none of the other guys came to play, and neither did he. Mm-hmm. And he said the Steelers are not the teams of the 70s, 80s, early 2000s. They're a whole different squad because they can't even run the ball, and that's soft. So I think the Steelers thing, they got so many issues. They got salary cap issues of who they're going to sign. You got a guy like Bud Dupree that needs to be signed. You know, Ben Roethlisberger is scheduled to make about $14 million. Is he going to reconstruct his contract to keep some guys? So they got a whole lot of things they need to deal with. But to me, I think the Steelers, there's so many things that they need. They got to get some offensive line help. Mm. They got to get another running back. And they need to start thinking about the future at quarterback.
Yeah,
you know, Ben said he wants to come back, but I'm at the point now. I mean, if he comes back, cool. I mean, whatever. But I'm at the point now, man. It's time for us to – Randolph is not the answer to me, you know.
Mm.
Dobbs got a chance, but he hasn't played enough. So now you've got – there's guys out there this year that you can get – I want to call him Mitchell, but that's not Stafford. And then there's a possibility of getting Watson, but we may have to give up too much to get Watson. So I don't know.
Interesting. Going back to the Cleveland Browns and them being a ground and pound team, they didn't do much of that today. And that's probably what hampered them. Nick Chubb, 13 for 69 yards, and Kareem Hunt, six carries for 32 yards. That's not going to get it done. You got to do better than that on the ground, at least. Baker Mayfield again, 23 for 37, 204 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Patrick Mahomes, even though he went out, he had a 106.9 rating with 21 of 30 attempts, 255 yards and a touchdown, no sacks. Now Chad Henne came in, and for some reason he got sacked and hurried six times. Patrick Mahomes, no hurries, no sacks. Baker Mayfield got sacked once and hurried eight times. So it makes you think, is it something that the quarterbacks are doing that Patrick Mahomes is not doing, or he's doing something that the other quarterbacks are not doing? Because for the whole time that he was in there, no hurries, no sacks. All right, so the next game on the docket for the NFL playoffs, I think you got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints coming up tonight at 6:40 as game time. Previous games, we talked about it earlier. Buffalo Bills beat the Baltimore Ravens 17-3. Green Bay beat the Los Angeles Rams 32-18. So I want to pose this question and bring this topic in. Does it help or hurt Brady? Now, I know some people will say, you can't, you know, he's not in New England and he's in the playoffs. But, I mean, he's in the playoffs with a, let's face it, he's got a stacked team. The defense is stacked. The offensive line is stacked. He's got a stacked team. I think it's a lot of pressure on him to win the Super Bowl, you know, despite the fact that he's old and decrepit and can't run. But past the fight, does this help Tom Brady's legacy if he or hurt his legacy if he loses, if he doesn't win the Super Bowl? And how much does it really help his legacy if he wins?
Well, I'll backdoor into this question because I think like I said earlier, it's hard to beat a team three times in the NFL. And right now the Saints are 2-0 this season against the Buccaneers. So going into this game, it looks more favorable for Tom Brady coming in with a third time with two games under his belt and two games with game footage that he has been able to study over the last 2 weeks. So he should be more prepared for this game than he was in the first two games. Now, even Tom Brady has to understand that the defense can't allow Kamara to score five touchdowns. Like, that just can't happen tonight like it did the last game. Because there's nothing that he can do on the offensive end if the defense is going to let him just do whatever he wants to do in the game. And I think that game, they didn't even have Breeze. They were rolling with Hill. I'm not 100% certain on that.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
What we got to understand for Brady's legacy, though, he's in a totally different division. And so studying and knowing this division, knowing the coaches and their play calling, he had more of a historical context in New England with the AFC teams to make it to the Super Bowl every year. He knew what he was going to see on the defensive end. He knew what he was going to have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And so he only had to prepare for an NFC team in the Super Bowl. Now he's got to prepare for NFC teams that he's never seen on a consistent basis, just throwing stuff at him that he hasn't seen before. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why this game is going to be a true indication of the type of player he is, because now he has some footage under his belt and he has some game experience under his belt that he should go into this game a whole lot more prepared, because this team he has hasn't been where he's been. Mm. So if he's going to be the true leader, he's got to tell them how to get to where he's been numerous times. And help them get there. I mean, the knock on LeBron James for years was, okay, yeah, you're great, but you can't get your team over the hump, until he finally did. And so now that I think the true sign of his legacy will be, can he take these guys who's never won a Super Bowl before and say, I'm putting y'all on my back and we going to the Super Bowl.
So I'm on record as saying that this is, if he doesn't win, it definitely hurts his legacy, not being able to go to the Super Bowl without being in New England, without being, you know, in that same system for so long. And finally you get out on your own. You got the stacked team that everybody said you can do it with. And you're going to be, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Your legacy is going to be cemented. JT, I'm going to ask you the same question. Does it help Tom Brady's legacy if he wins the Super Bowl? And does it hurt his legacy if he loses?
I think given the fact that he's got to put a team on his back and make it to the big game or make some things happen. The one thing that sticks out to me is it is hard to beat the team three times in one season. So, I mean, it's the reason why I picked them. And thinking that Brady has an opportunity to make something happen here. Me personally, I don't think it really defines win or lose in this game, because at 43 years old, he's already doing something that most 43-year-old quarterbacks can't do. So it's on him. He can go out there and be relaxed and go out there and get it done and utilize the experience he has and be able to make something special happen. I think more of the pressure falls on the Saints and Drew Brees. If they don't get it done, I think they underachieve by not getting it done.
True that. And that brings me to this, Big Les. Who needs the Super Bowl win more? Is it Drew Brees? Is it Tom Brady? And I'm going to even throw in Aaron Rodgers into this mix, because it's been a while since Aaron Rodgers been at the Super Bowl. It's been a minute for him, you know, and he's been in Green Bay, and he's supposed to be, you know, better than his legacy. He's supposed to outdo Brett Favre. Big Les, who needs it more, Brees, Brady, or Rodgers?
In my opinion, I think it would have to be Brees. For the reasons, one, because I think he's only got one. He has the least. And the second option is, I think this is his last year. I don't think Brees is coming back regardless. So with that being said, you know, I think Rodgers will come back next year. Brady may come back next year, but I'm pretty sure Brees probably won't come back unless it's just a bad taste in his mouth. Yeah. So I think it's more important to Brees to win it. And as a matter of fact, I'm rooting for Brees. I like to see him. I like to see him go ahead and lock it up. You know, be held that trophy up at the end. Since a number seven won't be doing it, heck, might as well let somebody else get a piece of the action.
Right. I'm with you. I'd rather see Brees do it. Actually, I'd rather see Patrick Mahomes get back to back Lombardi trophies. If it's not Brees that wins it, I'd rather see Patrick Mahomes do it. I really don't want Tom Brady to win it, because I can't deal with that for the rest of the year. Just the love fest that it will be for Tom Brady, and how he's just the next coming of Jesus Christ, and how he at 43 won a Super Bowl and with another team. This proves he didn't need New England. This proves he didn't need Bill Belichick. This just proves his greatness. This just proves that he's the Superman that we thought he. I don't want to hear all that. I do not want to hear the love fest of Tom Brady for the rest of the year. So I will be rooting against him and rooting for anybody else. Anybody. It could be Josh Allen, for all I care. It could be I don't care who wins it. As long as it's not Tom Brady. I don't know if y'all could tell or not that I hate Tom Brady. Just everything about Tom Brady, I hate. But anyway, let's take a commercial break. Let's go on the other side of this. I want to talk NBA. I want to talk Jaguars making a coaching change. Should they have made a coaching change? Should they have made a GM change? I think JT's got some things on his mind that he wants to talk about. We still got the over and under coming with JT. So, y'all stick close, stick tight, don't go anywhere. This Big Woo Radio, off-topic sports.
You're listening to Big Woo Radio.
Hey, this is James J.T. Thompson from Big Woo Radio. Hats off to you, Couture. Everything is made, not manufactured. Your one-stop shop for handmade hats and more. How to get in touch with them? www.etsy.com/shop/hats-off-to-you-couture. Officially endorsed by Big Woo Radio.
Hey, y'all, I'm Nima Shining Star L, and you can catch me every Sunday, 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IG Live in the Art Room with Nima, where I will have special interviews with special guests you don't want to miss. And then you can catch me Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Facebook Live. That's right, Facebook Live Thoughts Provoked, where every topic is definitely a hot topic. Do not miss. So if you can't catch me on IG Live, 7, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, shoot on over to Facebook, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hey, y'all. Hey, y'all. Hey, y'all. Hey, y'all.
From olive-colored skin to chocolate brown, lipsticks and lip gloss should be color-rich, long-lasting, bold, and luscious. Bold and Luscious Cosmetics. Find them at BALCosmetics.com. Complete with vitamin E, lanolin, and antioxidants, Bold and Luscious gives you soft, moisturized lips all day. Reds, nudes, pinks, darks, bright. BALCosmetics.com. BALCosmetics.com.
BALCosmetics.com. Attention business owners and entrepreneurs in the Rock Hill, South Carolina area. Are you currently looking for a great office space to lease right now? Well, all you got to do is come down to 742 North Anderson Road in Rock Hill, South Carolina. They are now leasing office spaces that includes great amenities like 24/7 building access, front desk service, coffee shop, sandwich shop, networking and social events, mail handling, and even reliable Wi-Fi. All you got to do is give Frank a call at 803-200-1605. Once again, call Frank at 803-200-1605. They are now leasing office spaces. Yes, at 742 North Anderson Road in Rock Hill, South Carolina. This is a great place that you are guaranteed to enjoy working in.
Listen to Big Woo Radio. Did y'all hear what I say? I want y'all to listen to Big Woo Radio. Please listen to.
This is Big Woo Radio, a station for the people, by the people, serving Rock Hill, South Carolina and surrounding areas, Charlotte, North Carolina and surrounding areas, serving worldwide at BigWooRadio.com. Thank you so much for listening.
Let me clear my throat. I'm the legendary DJ Kool, and I don't care what nobody say. Woo Radio, Radio is the best radio station, period. All right? And I said that, and I meant that.
You're listening to Big Woo Big Radio. Radio.
Welcome back to the program. You're listening to the Big Woo Radio Off-Topic Sports. We've been talking about everything, mostly NFL playoffs, Tom Brady and Drew Brees and everything NFL. Thanks, everybody listening live at BigWooRadio.com, and everybody's downloaded the Big Woo Radio app in the Google Play Store. And all you folks that search us out on that podcast app on your iPhone, we appreciate that. Please continue to support and follow us at all everything Big Woo Radio. That's at Big Woo Radio on all of our social media. And all of our individual social media as well. If you just joined us, you missed the first half of the show. But have no fear. You can always go back and listen to the show in its entirety at every outlet that you listen to podcasts. Whether it's iHeart, TuneIn, Spotify, Spreaker, Alexa, everywhere. Everywhere. So thanks to everybody that went back and listened to the show. We appreciate that. Thank you so much. Hope you're enjoying it. We're going to get into JT's Over and Under a little bit later on. But we got the fellas here. We got Big Les, Pastor Fights. We got James, JT Thompson. Also, don't forget to go and download JT's new single, I Win, on all outlets, all your musical outlets. It's dope. It's real dope. JT, tell them where they can find your song, man. Or your poem. The poet, JT. JT the poet.
Yeah, man. You know, it's available on all digital platforms, man. It's Amazon, Apple, wherever they play digital songs that I Win is available. You can go get it. You can either go find it on YouTube as well and check it out. It's there. When I say the song is impactful and inspiring, you can hear it for yourself. Shout out to my man Big Woo on the beat and making it come to life. And we claiming nothing but success and getting the song out there in the atmosphere. It's definitely a blessing to have been able to have the opportunity to do it and just riding it out.
Yep.
On faith. Definitely proud every time I hear it.
Yep. It was a pleasure to do that for you, bro. No problem. Can't wait to do the next one. Speaking of I Win, there's people that didn't win in the NFL, and the Baltimore Ravens is one of them. Lamar Jackson did not get to complete the game. He went out on a concussion protocol as well. Unfortunate. Would have liked to seen that young man win and at least take the game to the end and see if he can bring his team back. And get that victory against Buffalo. Buffalo is back in the on the winning side of things in the playoffs after a long hiatus. I think it was 1993 was their last taste of playoffs or playoff victory. But the Ravens, it's almost like they just can't. I don't know, man. We talked about last week about there was a guy that mentioned the Ravens should move on from Lamar Jackson if they didn't win that playoff game last week, but they won. But they didn't get to move on to the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship. So is anybody feeling like the Ravens may need to move on from Lamar Jackson? I'm going to just put this out there. If there is somebody here that believes Lamar Jackson is not the answer for the Baltimore Ravens. What about you, Pastor Fight?
I was scared this was going to come to me first. I don't think so. I don't think so. But, I mean, historically looking, you know, I'm a stats and numbers and figures guy. As much as you like to see Lamar Jackson running around the field, it's not too many quarterbacks who have been dual quarterbacks that have carried their teams to Super Bowls. I mean, you look at Mike Vick, as many highlights as he had for the Falcons and even with the Eagles for a short time, it doesn't show Super Bowl status. I mean, you can go all the way back to Slash, who did it for the Steelers. You know what I mean? It hasn't been a recipe. It's nice. It gets people in the stands and excited. But at the end of the day, you got to be able to do two things as a quarterback. You got to be able to read defenses. And then based off of that read, number two, you got to be able to make sure you audible to the right play. And he hasn't proven to be able to do that. His go-to is drop the ball and run. And, I mean, you know, concussions are going to be a part of the way he plays the game. And that's the kind of danger you put your team in. When you are going to take a hit from a defensive back that's averaging 260, 275, when they hit you, I don't care if they lead with the helmet or the shoulder, it's going to hurt. Some pads you got on. You're going to go out with concussion. So you got to – that's why Patrick Mahomes, one touch today. Three step backs, read, call your hot routes, call your audibles at the line, three step back and let the ball go. Let Tyreek Hill get hit. That's what he get paid to do. He get paid to get hit.
Exactly.
You don't. Exactly. You the quarterback, not the running back.
Yep. Let me ask Big Les this. I'm gonna put this in your lap like this, Big Les. If there was an opportunity to get Lamar Jackson, I mean, this is hypothetical. No, it can't happen. But I want to ask this question in this way: if Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens, was to let Lamar Jackson go, and the Pittsburgh Steelers can pick him up, would you rather have him over Ben Roethlisberger right now?
I would. That's a great question.
Well, the only reason I would say yes, because there's more upside to Jackson than it is to Rosenberg.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, Ben is going back. You know, Jackson, there's still room for him to improve. And so sometimes different coaches can change styles of players to make them, you know, better or even worse, you know. So I don't know if the Steelers would have the ingredients to make Jackson better than what he is, but I tell you one thing, his mobility, Jackson's mobility, would definitely help us in Pittsburgh with the receivers we have. And so you have to also look at it too. Baltimore don't have the receivers that Pittsburgh has. You know, when you're picking up Dez Bryant, and no disrespect to Dez, but Dez is not the player he was in Dallas.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so,
right on.
So, and so you look, so that means as long as Dez has set out and then all of a sudden you pick him up, that means you got issues at the receiver position.
Yeah.
You know, because your depth chart wasn't big enough. So you had to go get a guy that's been sitting out for almost two years. So
wow.
yes, I probably would take him if, you know, if I couldn't get my first choice is probably Watson and then maybe Stafford. And then, you know, but if that was the choice, I would definitely have no problem in taking. Come on, man. Let's go. Let's do it.
Well, then that would be, I mean, if that's the case, that you would be willing to take him knowing that, you know, what Pastor Fight said is that, you know, these running quarterbacks like this, they don't win championships. So my first question to Pastor Fight is, like, should the Ravens get rid of him? And your answer tells me that you would probably say the Ravens should probably stay with him, correct?
Well, it's difficult to say because, like I said, when I said they don't win championships, they do fill arenas, though. I mean, right. you can't.
But the Steelers about winning. The
NFL. Well, yeah, they're about winning too. But at the end of the day, I mean, the Steelers. I mean, when the last time they won a Super Bowl? But they about making money.
Sure.
At the end of the day, if you're able to get somebody that's gonna make some money for the team, you know, look, at the end of the year, yeah, the owner probably wants to add a Lombardi Trophy to the collection. But at the end of the day, when you sold out eight of your games, all eight of your home games, then I don't see them having any problems because them hot dogs are still $8. You know, that drink is still $5. You know, and right. People buying them, they buying them beers and stuff. And when you got a quarterback that people are coming to see, whether they win or lose, look, that's what it's more so about. The fans want Super Bowls. The yeah. owners want them too, but the owners want a profitable organization at the end of the day. Look at Jerry Jones.
True that.
I mean, he ain't had a playoff win in I don't know how many years, but he's still building billion-dollar arenas.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Jerry Jones, let me slide on over there to JT. JT, if Lamar Jackson was available and the Cowboys could get him, would you want us to pick up Lamar Jackson?
I'll say no because you got to have the pieces around him in order to make that successful.
Mm.
I've seen too many situations where you bring a guy in, but you don't surround him with the pieces that's needed in order to really execute and get it done. Mm. And I get it. You know, you got a star player in there. He make everybody better. But at the end of the day, you look at Mahomes and they surround him with weapons. He got everything around him, the ingredients around him for them to be successful, help them be able to navigate and do what he do. I would not want to see Lamar Jackson come to Dallas, and that's all we got is Lamar Jackson. We ain't got nothing else to go along with it.
Yeah.
Like, that's a total bust and a total waste of time. And a big reason why I'm rooting for Deshaun Watson to get somewhere where he has weapons, where he's able to execute and really play off of his talent. So, no, I wouldn't want him in a situation, unless we have weapons to go along with his talent, I wouldn't want to see him in Dallas.
And you can tell when you get rid of weapons, this is in Deshaun Watson's case, you get rid of a key weapon, it can kill a team. I mean, it can kill a quarterback, even though Deshaun Watson is still a good quarterback, and he's going to be all right going forward. But you got to have some weapons for that quarterback, man. I mean, I don't care how good he is. You don't get him some weapons, he ain't going to be worth a dang. It's unfortunate that the Texans did that to Deshaun Watson. That's why he went out. All right, 704-489-3316. If you want to get in on any of the topics or debates or what have you, you can do that. The next thing I want to talk about before we get into the NBA is the Jacksonville Jaguars. JT, did the Jaguars make a good move with their coach?
I look at a franchise that's got the number one pick. And it was very important for them to get someone in there, fresh meat, fresh blood, and give it a shot. I think they rolled the dice a couple of times on guys with some experience. I think it was a good move. Bring Urban Meyer in and see what he can do. I mean, they got money to spend down there in Jacksonville. You got an opportunity to draft a corner piece and wanted to make something happen. So you rolled the dice. You paid the coach. He get to bring in his own staff. You know, you sit down, you figure out who's going to be that franchise player that you can get in the draft. Will it be a Trevor Lawrence? Will you build off of him? Is that what you believe? Will you go with Fields? Like, there's some interesting dynamics that can happen with that number one draft pick. I think bringing Myers in was definitely a strong suit in building for a successful NFL season coming up next year.
Pass the fight. Urban Meyer, college football coach. Not a lot of successful ones. There are some successful ones. I'm not going to say they're not. But usually college coaches don't really work out on the NFL level. It's a rare thing. Are you okay with Urban Meyer coming to Jacksonville?
No. Okay. Now, look, I love Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer has proven he is, first of all, he's not an X and O's coach. He's not the coach that's going to come in and games on the line, make the right choices. I'm sorry. He is a conveyor of talent. Mm. And the college allows you to do that. College allows you to be able to get talent from all over the country. NFL is a whole lot different. A general manager is doing that. And so he, as the coach, got to work with the general manager to get the kind of talent that he wants. And you just can't get everybody and anybody. He can't walk into somebody's mama house, sit down at their coffee table, and convince them the reason to come to the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's not how this works. So it's yet to be proven. I mean, you look at Charlotte. We've done it, the Carolina Panthers, with this college experiment. And, you know, I think due to injuries, you know, obviously your best player and your running back, Deuce is hurt majority of the whole entire season. So it's kind of hard to see, you know, whether or not he was able to be as successful as he could have been. Obviously, yeah. Everybody looking at Pete Carroll with Seattle. But once again, Seattle has given Pete Carroll and spent the money that Pete Carroll wanted them to spend in order to get some of the elements that he needs. Now, here lately, he hadn't had the type of defenses he had early on in his career that they spent money on to get, but they ain't spent money to keep them. And so early success, but, you know, long term, they've been a competitive team. They just hadn't been a contending for a Super Bowl team. You know, obviously Russell Wilson has signed a major deal. And so what I would dare say, and this is a question I would turn back to my Cowboy fan, because what Urban Meyer is doing is he's now interviewing for jobs. And one of the people that he is going to interview here in the coming days is the Cowboys offensive coordinator from, 15 to 18, Scott Linehan. He's interviewing him for the offensive coordinator position for Jacksonville. And so is that a smart move early on when he has a track record?
No.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah. No.
These are names. Raheem Morris is a defensive coordinator position. I'm not too opposed to that. I mean, he's a black guy. I think he deserves an opportunity. He was with the Atlanta Falcons as an interim head coach, you know, when they let their coach go. And now Urban Meyer is looking to bring him to Jacksonville. Scott Linehan is his offensive coordinator. As we know, he has been a coordinator before and isn't with the talented and very well-spent money-wise Dallas Cowboys from 15 to 18, but doesn't have anything to show for it. So I don't know if he's making the right choices even early on,
right,
as the coach.
Well, we shall see what happens, but I'm along the lines with you, Pastor, and I don't know about these college coaches, even though, like I said, he was a great college coach, but it's a completely different ball game, completely different animal. I mean, just look at Nick Saban. Okay, Nick Saban, great college football coach. One of the greatest of all times, if not the greatest of all times, especially the winningest. But he couldn't cut it in the NFL. That's why he went back to college. Steve Spurrier, one of the great college football coaches, couldn't cut it in the NFL. I just think you're taking a chance. I think you go from college head coach to maybe to college NFL assistant coach or NFL offensive coordinator or quarterback coach or something like that. I don't think you should just be able to jump from the NFL head coaching position to a, I mean, a college head coaching position to an NFL head coaching position. I think that's a leap too much. Big Les, speaking of college.
Hold on. Woo.
Oh, go ahead.
Since you named some of the bad, we also got to consider some of the good, though.
Sure.
I named Pete Carroll. You also got to remember Jimmy Johnson,
right?
Paul Brown, Bill Walsh, you know, even Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin went from Boston College to the NFL to lead the Jacksonville Jaguars and the New York Giants to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, you got to think there are some good examples out there, but the Lou Holtzes and the Bobby Paternos and Steve Spurrier, Nick Saban. Yeah, they out there.
It's a big it's a long list of them, boy. But I think some of those guys you named, weren't they like in the NFL and then went to college and came back to the NFL? I might be mistaken, but I thought some of them went.
I know Paul Brown led Ohio State to a national title and then went to the NFL. He coached the Cleveland Browns, I think the Cincinnati Bengals had a few playoff appearances under him. He did pretty decent. He wasn't a bad. Bill Walsh, I think, was at Stanford in the 70s.
Yeah,
and then he went to the NFL to coach the 49ers for like 10 years. And he got 3 Super Bowls.
And let's not forget Jimmy Johnson. Yeah, he was the Cowboys. But he also coached Miami.
The last Cowboy to win. Cowboy to win the Super Bowl.
Right. They always talk about Jimmy Johnson and the Cowboy, but let's not forget he went to Miami after that and stunk it up. I mean, stunk it up. But we still love Jimmy Johnson. He's still our favorite coach outside of Tom Landry. But Big Les,
wait, Jimmy Johnson came from Miami.
No, I'm talking about he coached Miami Dolphins after the Cowboys.
Oh, okay, Miami Dolphins. I was about to say he came from the University of Miami.
And, yeah, he came from the University of Miami. Then he went to the Miami Dolphins.
Brought all the talent from Miami to Dallas.
Right. With a blockbuster dumb trade from the Minnesota Vikings.
Let me ask you this, though. What the Cowboys did at that time was in the vein of the precedent of that time. Head coaches were general managers. So they got to not only lead their team on the field, but they got to also pick their team in the offseason and work the deals out in order to bring their teams. Now teams are getting away from that and having general managers separate from the head coach and not letting the head coach do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking is – teams who make that decision to allow the head coach be also the general manager, are they more successful or more willing to give themselves enough rope to either sink or swim or, right, you know, hang themselves? Or are they kind of right now, you know, like, no, take somebody else to blame for who doesn't get the success. So the head coach can point at the general manager can point at the head coach. And so here in Jacksonville, you got a general manager who survives, but a head coach.
But the head coach get fired. The Jacksonville got a lot to work out. You know, that's why they get the, you know, they're the worst team in the league because they got a lot of things they need to work out. Well, we need to work out. I was trying to get Big Les in here so he can explain. I was going to talk about Alabama being back and winning the championship, but does it still sting a little bit? Big Les, I mean, the Ohio State loss, does it sting a little bit?
No, not with me, because I knew Alabama was going to win. I mean, right now, man, it's Alabama and everybody else. So, you know, we knocked off Clemson, and Clemson was, everybody thought in their head Clemson was at least the second best team in the country, and we just manhandled them. So, you know, the future looks bright for Ohio State. I think, I'm not sure, within the next 2 years, I think we've got, like, either they sign a contract where they're going to play home and home against Alabama, or maybe two homes and homes against Alabama. So, you know, we're trying to move up. You know, Ohio State also has the best recruiting class coming in this year. So going to the national championship is going to help bring more attention to Ohio State. And
absolutely,
they just got it, as Bear Bryant said, when he saw
those black young men playing at black universities, and he was losing to them. Well, not so much the black universities, but the black men that were going to the other schools, and they was losing to them. Bear Bryant looked at his assistant coaches and said, "We got to get us some of them boys." So that's what we got to do. We got to go to places and get them guys, and hopefully we can bring them, you know, bring them up north to the Big H.
There you go.
O-I-O.
Justin Fields, he's staying or going?
From what I'm hearing, he's leaving because they've already been talking about trying, you know, who's going to be the next quarterback and all that kind of stuff. So, and I think our receiver, Alarve, I think he's leaving too. So they got some holes to fill, but usually Ohio State, they reload. So
they're going to reload. They're going to definitely reload. Justin Fields just had to.
Maybe a little early for you, Les.
Huh?
Question may be a little early for you, Les, but where does he stack up in this year's draft when it comes to quarterbacks?
I think he could be a first-round draft pick. I don't know. You know, quarterbacks are hard for me to judge. I don't think he can come in and just start. I think he would need some time to mature a little bit. But I think he could do something. You know, I think, you know, if he can get behind somebody and mature a little bit, I think that would help him into just throwing to the Wolves like they did my man in D.C.
Hey, JT, you got an over and under for us?
Yeah, I got one for you.
All right, we got time for one. Hold tight.
Is it over? Is it under? It's time for JT's Over Under. Over Under. Over Under. Over Under. Over Under.
All right, what we got, JT?
Yeah, I got a question I was thinking about, and it's simple. What do y'all think that professional sports would look like if it wasn't dominant African-American participation? What would professional sports look like without the participation of African-American?
Over under.
the Boston Celtics of 1910? I don't know. But the Boston Celtics will be winning every single year because they got the one black dude killing it. It probably wouldn't be any sports. Especially, it wouldn't be any basketball, it wouldn't be any football, it wouldn't be any baseball. All you would have is race car driving, hockey, and curling. You might have some curling events. That's about it. Pastor Fight, what you got?
Oh,
I don't particularly think that it would be as profitable.
Yeah.
Somebody would go watch it, you know what I mean? But I don't think that you would have, I mean, look, if you go to look at the NFL got rid of celebration. After T.O. pulled the popcorn out, it made a lot of, you know, white fans upset. And so the next season, they got rid of celebration. But they brought it back. There's a reason why they brought it back.
Exactly.
You know, when Christian McCaffrey scores a touchdown, he hands the ball to the ref and runs to the sideline. But when Tyreek Hill scores a touchdown, he do a backflip. People want to see that.
Exactly. Exactly.
There's a certain pizzazz that black folk bring to the game that is marketable. And yep. Though folk may not like it, they going to keep pandering to it because they recognize this is what people want to see when they score. They don't want to see you hand the ball to the ref and run to your sideline. No, they want to see you pull popcorn out and, you know, go to the stands and be with the fans and the fans, jump in the crowd. That's what people pay all that money for, the first row seat, to be able to say, I picked up Cam Newton and he scored a touchdown. You know, people want to see him do the Superman joint. That's it.
I want to see somebody bring the Billy White Shoes Johnsons back. I want to see the Billy White Shoes Johnson celebration come back. I would lose my mind if I see somebody do that. Big Les, what you think? What kind of sports would we have without the brothers and the sisters?
Well, I always say the Spider-Man test. And so when I speak of the Spider-Man test, I mean this. When we first saw Spider-Man, we the special effects on Spider-Man was awesome. We was like, man, it really looked like he's sticking on them walls. Mm-hmm. But now if you go back and watch the first Spider-Man, you can it looks so fake because our eyes have adjusted to the new technology. Mm-hmm. So if sports was there without black people before that, everyone would think that that's great sports. A dude jumping up 2 inches off the ground for a layup, they're going nuts because that's all that they've ever been exposed to, you know. So just like Major League Baseball, before they allowed blacks to come in, the Negro Leagues were drawing more money than the Major Leagues, and the Major Leagues was about to fold, and that's why that was the start of the integration into baseball, because these young men could play and people were going to see them.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, if all you've seen is an ugly woman all your life and you've been told she looked good and you just keep following her, one day you go to another city and you see a brown, fine woman with nice hips and nice curves and she's smiling at you, look like the sunshine, and you like, oh my goodness. You know, so if you've only seen what you've seen, then that looks spectacular and great. So I think that's probably where we would be. We would have sports and we would be going nuts like, oh, did you see that layup, dog? Oh, man, that was hype, you know.
Right, right. Exactly. You got it. You got it. Well, I appreciate you fellas, man, hanging out with us out here on Off Topic Sports. Appreciate everybody that's listening live and everybody that went back and listened to the podcast or the replay, rather. We appreciate that so much, man. Don't forget to go check out James J.T. Thompson, Poet J.T. I Win. I'm going to play a little snippet of it for you before we get out of here, as we get out of here. Don't forget, check us out Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. It's the Brutally Honest Show with the Poetic Goddess, myself and JB. Maybe little Bucky might be in the building. Hopefully one of them show up this week. I was solo my last week. But we'll be rocking out with you Tuesday and Friday with Nima, JT, and myself on the Florida Poetry Show. Show starts at 6 on the Florida Poetry Show. The show starts at 7 on the Brutally Honest Show on Tuesday. So definitely check us out. That's it. Thank you, guys. Yeah, go ahead, JT.
Nayana at the top of the hour in the art room with Nima in a few minutes on IG.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Check them out on IG in the art room with Nima, Instagram. This is the Nima Shining Star L, right, on Instagram.
Yeah.
You'll be able to check it out live. So that's it, y'all. Appreciate you, man. On behalf of my man, James J.T. Thompson, Adonis Donnie Martin, JB Mr. 299, Big Les, Pass the Fight, I'm Big Woo. This is I Win by my man, the poet, JT. Peace. God bless. We out.
I win. I win. I win. Challenge and contest on every down. Crunch time comes, my physical and mental truly tested. Pressure, everything on the line. Yeah, you know it, the ball in my hand, I go hard in the paint. Deep up off the ground with no flaw. I score, no sweat. They say it's a perfect moment, nah. It's better because it's in God's time. It's God's time. Result, you say? Yep, you guessed it. God's time. The result, you say? Yep, you guessed it. I win.
You're listening to Big Woo Radio.
I win. Challenge and contestant on every down. I win. Crunch time comes.